Well, good morning again. Hasn't worship been amazing this morning? Oh, just we are so blessed with this amazing team that brings us into the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Some of you may have noticed I brought a yardstick up here. There's no reason to be concerned. I'm not going to hit anybody with it. Talk about this a little bit later. I just have to tell you just a funny story before I get into my message. I was at the hardware store looking for a few things, and I was looking for a yardstick, and then also a wooden ruler, right? And so the gentleman that was helping me at the hardware store, he was like, you know, questioning why I was wanting a wooden ruler. He says, are you a nun out of habit? I mean, it just took me back for a minute because I'm like, out of habit. Oh, like a habit. You know, I just thought it was funny. No, I am not a nun. I am not a nun. Today, we are continuing in our Limitless sermon series, and we're going to have a glimpse into a very special letter. And it was written to the church at Ephesus from the Apostle Paul. And Paul had spent 3 years with them. That's a long time. And a lot of life happens over 3 years, right? We know that. A lot of life happens. And they had developed this deep relationship and deep friendships. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome during the time when he wrote this letter. So you can just imagine that the joy that the Ephesians had when they received this letter from Paul. And today we are going to experience the blessing of a prayer that he wrote in this letter. Now, before he shared this prayer, Paul wrote that because of the faith that they had in Jesus, right, they had this deep faith in Jesus through his death and resurrection, that we can approach God with freedom and confidence. That's what we've been doing all morning, freedom and confidence, as we worship the Lord this morning. And then he pens this just most beautiful prayer. I'd like to share it with you. It is from Ephesians 3, and we're going to start in the 14th chapter. We've got the words up on the screen, but I want to share this with you this morning. I want you to hear these words as I read them aloud. Just let them wash over your spirit. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. You see, his prayer, it's Trinitarian in nature. He refers to God the Father, Jesus our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our sustainer. You see, the believers at Ephesus were followers of Christ, but Paul prayed for them to go deeper in their faith, to go deeper. You see, Jesus desires that same deepness from us, to know him, to seek him, and to call upon his name, in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And there's so much power to be drawn from this prayer. There's inner strength that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith that Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. Rooted and grounded in love to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Jesus. Rooted. We just sang about that. Rooted in his love. And it's a type of love that surpasses knowledge. It's a spiritual understanding, right? It's good to have knowledge, but there's a difference between a spiritual understanding and then the fullness of God. It's God's ultimate purpose for us to experience his fullness. And there is power in God. There is power in God. I want to share a story with you. There was a couple, and they lived remotely. They were off the grid, right? And some of you have been to places like that. It could be a cabin, but someplace that is off the grid, you know, you are away from all people, and you're just kind of out on your own. And this couple, they decided this cabin that they lived in off the grid that they wanted to go ahead and break down and have electricity put in their house, right? So they came out, they went to a lot of trouble, they had wires run, and they had electric sent to the house. And so they had that done, and then the electric company sometime later was noticing, you know, something is not quite adding up with this house. So they sent a meter reader out to the house, right? And they said, you know, we'd just like to ask, you know, is everything okay? Are you using the electric that we had wired into this house? And they said, oh, yes, absolutely we're using this. They said, well, it's just minuscule, right? It's minuscule amounts of electric, just minuscule. And they said, oh, no, we use it. We turn it on every night to give us enough light to light our lamps. That was it. That was the extent of their electricity. But see, how are we like this in our spiritual lives? You see, we know what it's like to stumble in the dark. And we need God to flip the switch long enough, right, to meet our need. Just long enough to light our lamps, if you will. But Jesus calls us to live in his light and in his power, not all the time, Not just when we want to flip the switch, right? Just when we need him, but all the time. This prayer is inclusive. There's a lot of family language in this. And we call upon the Heavenly Father, generations, it says, heaven and earth, right? Above and below. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, rooted in love, together with the saints, together with the saints. When I say the word saint, a couple of different images come to mind. If you are Catholic, and I know some of you had a Catholic upbringing, then saints would come to mind. I have been United Methodist my entire life, right? I think they call that cradle Methodism. When I sold my first house, I channeled some inner Catholic in me. I don't know if you know where I'm going with this. But I purchased one of those St. Joseph statues, and I buried him in my yard, right? And you want to face him out, so that way your house sells. So yeah, I'm Methodist, but I was channeling one of these saints. Now, you can laugh. It's okay. It's okay. See, look, there you go. Just got to wake up this morning. I read a book by Nadia Boltz-Weber. I don't know if you are familiar with her, but she's a wild woman for Jesus, and she's a Lutheran pastor that lives in Colorado and preaches really all around the country and the world. And I read one of her books called Accidental Saints, and she said, what makes us saints of God is not our ability to be saintly, but rather God's ability to work through sinners. Ooh. You see, being a saint is never something that is bestowed upon us or earned. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to both to the will and to do the work of his good pleasure. Ooh, that's a good word. And Paul says, as I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that that love surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Measure is an interesting word. It's an interesting word. Paul says that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. We all know that in life there are times when we need to have good measure, right? And I know we got some handy folks in the room, like building a home. You need to be precise. You need to have good measure, good measure. And then cooking, right? If you want what you're making for dinner or cookies, you've got to have good measure. And then there's progress in learning. We measure our learning by progress. We get grades. And then babies, as soon as they're born, You know, what percentile? You know, their height and their weight. What is their percentile? We're measuring even from a young age. And then some of you may have done this or are doing this, where you have marks inside of a door, right? And you've got a line and you've got the date and what age, right? So you can see how the kids are growing in stature. But then we also have some measure that isn't good. That isn't good. It comes in the form of comparison. And we measure ourselves with others, their success versus our success, the things they have versus the things we don't have. You see, kids learn at a young age through grades and sports, and we even do it in church sometimes, to think that we should try to be like other churches. You see, to compare is to discourage. To compare is to discourage, and to inspire is to motivate. And a quote I'd like to share with you from Theodore Roosevelt is, "Comparison is the thief of joy." Somebody needs that word this morning. Comparison is the thief of joy. Paul ends his prayer with a doxology, a song of praise. And he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ throughout all the generations, forever and ever." You see, we get to see God's provision throughout the pages of Scripture, of God being able to do immeasurably more. We remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, who desperately wanted a child, desperately, and God had promised Abraham a seed, and they thought that it came in the form of Hagar. And then Sarah became pregnant with Isaac. We remember that, and it was more than they had asked for. Sarah was older. She was like 90, and it was really more that she could ask for, right? I mean, like, who wants to have a baby at 90? Imagine getting that news. Be careful what you ask for, right? I'd like this, God, but in this time frame, right? Preferably before I'm 90. And then in one of David's Psalms, I want to share this with you, Psalm 21, "The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with riches and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. And he asked you for life, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever." You see, God gave David more than just length of days for himself, but a throne for his sons. And then we remember the story of the prodigal son when he returned home, and he says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants." And his father responded, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." And the son was given more than he could imagine, love and acceptance from his father. You see, there's measure for good, in fact, immeasurably more that we could ask for or imagine. When I was just a little girl, my grandparents both lived in Cedarville, and I don't know if you're familiar with Cedarville, but I grew up pretty much, I don't know, 2-3 times a month going there on the weekends to spend time with my grandparents, which I so treasure those memories. And my one grandfather owned a feed and grain mill, right? And I'm just wee little itty bitty. And he asked me to go with him to, I don't even know if this is the right word, but some kind of expo, right? You know what I'm saying? And it was held someplace in downtown, and there were all these vendors, right? And they had all of these, you know how it is when you go to like expos or conferences and you have giveaways. And so I'm just a wee little bitty thing, and I'm kind of looking, oh, you know, what do you get for free, right? And looking at all the tables, and I see fans, right? Remember the fans? And I'm like, yeah, I don't really want a fan. And then I saw a wooden ruler, and I'm like, okay, a wooden ruler, that's okay. And then I set my eyes on a yardstick, right? And I wanted that yardstick. I wanted that yardstick. I wanted bigger, and I wanted more. This morning, I want to encourage you not to settle for less. Not to settle for less. You see, when you see a ruler or a yardstick, remember remember that God can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So what do you ask for or imagine? I want you to hear me this morning. This is not the prosperity gospel. This isn't you're going to buy a new car and you're going in to buy a Toyota Corolla, right? And you're coming out with a Mercedes-Benz. This is not the prosperity gospel. But in what areas of your life, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, what do you bring to the feet of Jesus in your prayer time? That say, God, you know what? More. If I could just have more of this, or if I could just have your blessing upon me, more. God, I want more. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. We remember the story of the couple, right? We're living off the grid. I want to encourage you to keep the power on. Keep the power on. And don't limit what God can do through you. His power is at work within you. Can you say that? His power is at work within me. His power is at work within me. Embrace God and embrace you. Do you. Inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard, he is able to do immeasurably more that we could ask or imagine because of the power that is in us. We're going to sing a refrain, and Sean is going to lead us. And when we're done with those few verses, I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer.